Greetings, Earth Explorers. Welcome to X Squared Radio, where the past meets the future. I'm your host, Brooks Agnew. In here, the results are always positive. We explore the mysteries of the universe and of the Earth. Whether you are driving across the country tonight or listening on the web while you're working on your favorite project, you are about to learn more about who we are, why we are here, and what we may become than you thought possible. We might go a little past your imagination, but have no fear. You will be safely traveling with us. Keep your arms inside the vehicle, recline your chair, and look out the window as we launch X Squared Radio. And greetings, Earth Explorers. Welcome to X Squared Radio. We're coming to you live from Western Idaho. Our AccuWindow forecast tonight, 87, actually quite pleasant westerly winds, and should be a very nice night for stargazing. The solar wind tonight is up a little at 412.3 kilometers per second, and the proton count is a very mild 3.6. No problem with short sleeve shirts today. The number of earthquakes in the world over 2.5 is 24, with a 7.1 occurring in Izu Islands, Japan, at 10:55 this morning, UTC. Four have happened in the last 2 hours. And tonight, X Squared Radio is live on KFNX 1100 in Phoenix, Arizona, 50,000 watts. Of X Squared Radio, bringing you the very leading edge of exploration into the mysteries of the universe and of the Earth. They will be tuning in and getting squared in about 4 minutes. You, who are listening on the internet, get to hear us right straight up at 6 o'clock. So we appreciate you being there with us. The Perseids, the Perseid meteors are now hitting Earth's upper atmosphere, with a speed of about 50 to 60 kilometers per second. That's about 130,000 miles an hour. And that's the result of us passing through the tail of a comet. And last night, the system detected 5 fireballs that provided the data for this speed estimate. Perseid meteors seems so nearby when they fly overhead, almost like you could catch them in a glove. But appearances can be deceiving. Consider the following fireball. If you want to go to spaceweather.com, you can have a look at it. It actually exploded twice while it was in path overhead, made for a very nice picture. It should get even better in the nights ahead. Members of the International Meteor Organization are now counting more than 25 Perseids per hour. That rate is expected to increase almost tenfold on the night of August 11th, that's Tuesday, and 12th, that's Wednesday, when Earth passes through a denser-than-usual filament of comet dust crossing Earth's orbit. Now, I got to let you know that only amateurs are looking at this. All the government telescopes are tied up looking at other things. They're contracted. Nothing we can do about that. If there's anything really exciting to look at in that comet tail, you're going to have to find it, and you're going to have to report it. If you've got a digital camera, you might want to get out and take some photographs. If you have a nice telescope, 4-inch or bigger mirror, or even a refracting telescope with the digital camera on there, you should be able to pick up something really nice over the next 2 or 3 nights. If you like looking at shooting stars and like making wishes, this is your week. So, about now, we are adding KFNX 1100. This is X Squared Radio, and we will be coming to you again in about 40 seconds, so don't go away. Here we go. Thank you.
expands consciousness. The spice is vital to space travel.
X Squared Radio coming to you live from Western Idaho. We're glad you're here with us. We're glad you're tuning in and getting squared. Remember, this is where the past meets the future. It's where we discuss the mysteries of the universe and of the Earth. Tonight, we will be discussing Hollow Earth Theory. If you've never heard it before, actually, I went back through the archives and looked, and it had been about a year since we looked at it. So I thought we would talk about this all the time tonight, but actually I got some emails saying they wanted a program on the subject of Hollow Earth Theory instead of just the expedition. So I went back to the archives, and sure enough, we haven't done a program on Hollow Earth Theory in about a year. Seems like we talk about it all the time because we're involved in the North Pole Inner Earth Expedition, but you don't get to hear the theory all the time. So we're going to leave the phone lines open all night, and if you have any questions or comments, be sure to call in and share them with us. You are the experts tonight, so don't be shy. We're very easy to talk to out here in the Idaho desert. And you can also text me through Skype if you don't want to come on the air. Just do a search for Brooks Agnew. I'm out there. Next week on X Squared Radio, we have the co-author for Witness to Roswell, Donald Schmidt, coming on with us. We might even get Tom Carey to come on during the program. If you have not read this book, or even if you have read the book, there's a new edition out. And I've got to tell you, people, this is the granddaddy of all government cover-ups. If there was ever a UFO case where there's hard evidence, this is it. And we're not talking about a little nut or a little bolt. We're talking about semi-loads full of evidence. And these two gentlemen, Thomas Carey and Donald Schmidt, have been after it like FBI investigators, going through, talking to witnesses, some of whom are no longer with us. They have passed on. And some of whom have actually never been interviewed because no one has ever taken the time to put two and two together. No one's ever actually gotten on the trail like a private investigator and gone from person to person and found out why government trucks came in, why government planes flew in specially, what kind of budgets were spent, where did the evidence go, where is it being held, what efforts are being made to get the evidence out. You want to know the answers to these? Then you need to tune in next week right here on X Squared Radio. We're coming to you live through the BBS Radio Network, rebroadcast to the Conscious Media Network, and we are live on KFNX 1100, 50,000 watts strong, out of Phoenix, Arizona. Our phone numbers, if you're driving, be careful. Enter this into your phone. Toll free, it's 888-228-4494. And anywhere else on planet, off planet, if you can get to a cell phone tower, you can reach us at 530-776-5154. That both numbers are global. You can reach us, if you don't get toll-free in your country, you can use the country code. And then 530-776-5154. We have a lot of listeners in Australia, and it's about 10 o'clock in the morning there on Monday. So we have it on good authority that Monday does happen. So you can have hope when you go to sleep tonight. Monday will happen. All right, we are going to talk about Hollow Earth Theory tonight. And I'm going to not get too deep into the technical, but deep enough so that you can see that there's been a lot of thinking, a lot of doing, a lot of investing to find out the structure of the Earth, how it is made. And sometimes the evidence supports the way we look at our Earth, and sometimes it doesn't. Current theory is called plate tectonic theory. Plate tectonics comes from the Greek tekton, meaning builder or mason. It describes the large-scale motions of Earth's lithosphere. That's the stone layer of the Earth. The theory builds on the older concepts of continental drift developed first during the decades of the 20th century by Alfred Wegener, and seafloor spreading developed in the 1960s. Of course, we now know those guys didn't know what they were talking about. We're the experts now. The lithosphere is broken up into what are called tectonic plates. You may have heard that, especially if you watch Discovery Channel or History Channel or even National Geographic Channel. In the case of Earth, there are currently 8 major and many minor plates. The lithospheric plates ride on the asthenosphere, which is kind of a molten layer. These plates move in relation to one another at one of 3 types of plate boundaries: convergent or collisional boundaries, divergent boundaries, also called spreading centers, and transform boundaries. Earthquakes, volcanic activity, mountain building, and oceanic trench formation occur along plate boundaries. The lateral movement of the plates is typically about 100 millimeters a year. That's about 4 inches for those of you still stuck in the Queen's way of measuring things. I don't know why we still deal with inches and yards and fractions of inches. Come on, people, get with the program. It's all millimeters now. The outer layers of the Earth are divided into lithosphere and asthenosphere, and this is based on differences in mechanical properties, which means some are solid and some are liquid, and in the method for the transfer of heat. Mechanically, the lithosphere is cooler. That's the one we walk on, by the way, and more rigid, while the asthenosphere is hotter and flows more easily. It's kind of like magma beneath our feet, hopefully far beneath our feet. In terms of heat transfer, the lithosphere loses heat by conduction, where the asthenosphere also transfers heat by convection and has a nearly adiabatic temperature gradient. This division should not be confused with the chemical subdivision of these same layers into the mantle that comprises the asthenosphere and the mantle portion of the lithosphere and the crust. A given piece of mantle may be part of the lithosphere or the asthenosphere at different times, depending on the temperature and pressure. Okay, it sounds a little technical, but it's interesting that you have that information now. So while you're driving, make some notes right there on the paper on your steering wheel, and we're going to refer back to that a little bit, and there will be a test later. I'm kidding. We're just trying to keep you interested. Those of you in the Phoenix market are going to take a break in about 3 minutes, so we will not accelerate past you. We will let you go through your local commercial break and rejoin us here on X Squared Radio. Now, the key principle of plate tectonics, that's the current theory of how continents float around on our planet, why we have earthquakes, and why the planet looks the way that it does, why it's built the way that it is. Anyway, the current plate tectonics is that the lithosphere exists as a separate and distinct tectonic plates, which ride on the fluid-like asthenosphere, which is the molten layer underneath the plates. Plate motions range, typically 40 millimeters, a little less than 2 inches, to about 160 millimeters, which is about 6 inches. That's about as fast as your hair grows per year. Tectonic plates consist of lithospheric mantle overlain by either 2 types of crustal material: oceanic crust, in older texts called sima, from silicon and magnesium, and continental crust, from silicon and aluminum. Average oceanic lithosphere is typically about 100 kilometers thick. 100 kilometers is about 60 miles. Now, the interesting thing about this is all the information that we've been able to gain through seismic analysis of the planet. We look at it from the surface. We kind of stare down into it, and using these sound waves and vibrational waves, and we're going to talk about that a little bit later, so that you understand how it is we really look at our planet. How do we really get a picture of our planet? We don't, look at it from the top. We have to drill down into it or feel down into it. And obviously, the deepest holes in the world are only 40,000 feet. That's about 5 miles. That's sort of like scratching the surface of an elephant and then telling me what it's made of all the way through. So it's very interesting how the instrumentation by which they get all this information. Now, there are 2 problems with this theory, this plate tectonic theory. And by the way, any geological textbook is going to have this theory in them. So while we let that cook for a minute, I want to tell you a couple of commercials, because our Phoenix friends are now driving around hoping that the commercials will soon end so they don't miss a thing. I want to let you know that if you are a small business, a large business, or just thinking about going into business, you must have a business card. If you think it's expensive, it takes 2 weeks to get, well, you're wrong. Click on the Vistaprints logo at X Squared Radio, and you can get quality business cards for free. How about that? Is that cheap enough? And if you want the premium backgrounds, shiny coatings, two-side printing, and even your own logo on the card, they can do it. And they can get it to you within 2 days. Is that fast enough? Come on, click on the Vistaprints banner at X Squared Radio and make your mark. It's xsquaredradio.com. Easy, easy to get to. Now, there's something you should see. It's called the Horizon Project. It is the most compelling video documentary ever done on the coming cataclysm of Earth, called A Polar Shift. Don't rely on Hollywood for your future. Go to the science. Click on the Horizon Project banner at X Squared Radio and get the video in your hands today. Also, I wanted to remind you, if you are in the market for an electric car, like who isn't? If you commute to work and you drive to work yourself, by yourself in your car, you're spending about $4,600 a year driving that car. By the time you buy gas and oil and do the maintenance on the engine and all the complex parts under the hood, believe me, average is $4,600 a year. That's a lot of money. How would you like to get a $4,000 a year raise tax-free? That's right. All you have to do is drive an electric vehicle. And if you want to find out how to get an electric vehicle, I would not suggest going to the Big Three's websites. You're going to get a lot of advertisement, but you're not going to get a vehicle. You're going to get a lot of government hype about billions here and thousands there, and the president showed up here and kissed babies here, and we got electric trucks and electric cars and electric this and electric that, batteries, batteries, batteries. It ain't going to happen. You want to find out about it, there's only one website, and that's globalgreencars.com. Remember the name, people, because you're going to see it in the news. These are the people really delivering the cars. Okay, now back to how the Earth is made. There are two problems with plate tectonic theory. By the way, welcome back, those of you in the Phoenix market. We're glad you're here. I know you're driving around in your car while all our other listeners on the internet are sitting there with a PC and a credit card in their hands. But that's okay, because you're going to learn some really cool stuff, and you're going to come back to X Squared Radio time and time again. We're talking about plate tectonic theory, and the reason we're talking about it is we're discussing hollow earth theory tonight. Now, I know you think that's crazy. I did too, about 9 years ago when I picked up my first book, read it, and tossed it back on the shelf. But there's a lot of evidence, people, lots of evidence, and you're going to hear about it tonight. And it might change your mind. It might just open your mind, which is really what we want to do here. There are two problems with the current plate tectonic theory. The first is that there's an assumption that the slab retains its tensile strength, its rigidity over a cantilever as much as 300 miles in distance in order for the theory to work. This is sort of like seeing how far you can extend a 1-inch tape measure out before the tape kinks and falls to the floor. I've tried this hundreds of times myself, and I may hold very close to the world record of 7 feet. The same thing happens to megalithic stone when you push it out over a gully. It will hold for a while, then it will break off, and it won't have enough power to stay, to keep together, won't have enough strength to keep together. And if it doesn't fit together in certain ways to display this kind of strength, this kind of power, this kind of resilience that's needed to hold this idea of plate subduction. You want to know what subduction is, okay? We used a big word. Let's see if we can define it. If you ever want to see this in action, okay, all you have to do is go to Utah Lake or a shallow lake when it is frozen over. Wait for the westerly wind to blow hard, and the ice will start sliding ashore for about 30 feet. Then it breaks off, and then the next sheet will push under it and break off, and so on, until there are about 10 plates of ice stacked like slices of bread on the leeward shore. This is a mini version of plate subduction. And it does act like the geological community would have you believe. However, rock is not like that. And it's not pushing 30 feet. It's pushing 300 miles underneath the plates. And this just isn't possible. It isn't feasible. Plate subduction does not happen. It's a nice theory, but by the time you apply the physics to it, it doesn't happen. In plate tectonics theory, basalt rock, observed erupting from the mid-oceanic ridges, is thought to creep slowly across the ocean basin and to subduct, to plunge into the earth, typically into submarine trenches. Indeed, there is convincing evidence for such ocean floor movement. When basalt rock cools, its magnetic minerals act like magnetic tape recorders, locking in a record of the prevailing direction of the Earth's magnetic field. The observed pattern of magnetic stripes across the ocean floor reflects reversals of the geomagnetic field, recorded as new seafloor cooled and moved away from the mid-oceanic ridge. This might appear to be convincing evidence of plate tectonics theory, but does that mean plate tectonics theory is totally correct? Not necessarily. Not necessarily. Look deeper and look questioningly, because there are some interesting movements in the pole itself. This makes a big assumption that the pole, the magnetic alignment of the Earth, doesn't change. If it doesn't change, then just maybe there's some merit to plate tectonic theory. But if it does change, then that means there's a variable they didn't take into consideration. There's also an assumption that the crust is only 100 kilometers thick, and that the entire crust is about 2.5 billion years old. Here is a major flaw in this theory. The entire crust is not 2.5 billion years old. It's not the same age, not by a long shot. While the top crust on land masses approaches that age, the oldest seafloor is only 70 million years old. Now, people, that's a lot of zeros. The continent, the landmass upon which we have built our cities, make our farms, have our homes, camp, ski, is 2.5 billion years old, but the oldest seafloor, 70 million years old. That's a lot of zeros. That's two orders of magnitude different. The youngest seafloor is only 10 million years old. Now, people, this is no small difference in age. We're noticing here at least 2 billion years difference in age. How could that be? Well, actually, the current plate tectonic theory simply cannot be supported with this data. In fact, quite the opposite is true. Plate subduction is not possible. Oh my gosh, if that's true, that means the entire planetary geology is flawed. All the textbooks, everything that our students are learning in school, is wrong. It's flawed. Just like when we look back at the 1960s and we say, oh, those old guys, they didn't know what they were talking about. We have the real science. We know what's really going on. Well, guess what? They don't. And the evidence is already showing the flaws in the current theory. The planet continents did, in fact, fit together, just like they noticed in the 1960s. And there are two theories about how they fit together. The first is called Pangaea, or, if you want to use the older name, Gondwanaland. This is where all the continents fit together on one side of the planet, leaving the rest of the planet underwater. This theory has been refuted and found to be beyond merit. In other words, sorry folks, it doesn't fit, doesn't work. There are a couple of reasons why. And if you have an old textbook, you can probably pull this up and look at it. I hope they don't still teach this in school. First, the mass of the planet would have been horribly lopsided, making its rotation in space impossible. There would have been evidence that the Earth's solar placement would have been unstable. All the evidence points to the idea that the solar exposure to the crust has been the same for millions and millions and millions of years. Also, whenever basalt, the very hard black stone that results from the flow of magma, solidifies, it forms a magnetic record of the conditions of the time, as we said. The way these layers are stratified when they are discovered seems to indicate a progressive shift with occasional cataclysms. This is the difference in philosophy. Most science, and I'm going to say archaeology is this way, geology is this way for most part, is based on humanism. Now, let me explain to you what humanism is. Suppose you had a measuring cup in a sink under the faucet, and the faucet was dripping, and there was, let's say, 3/8 of a cup of water in there. You could, if you knew that 20 drops coming out of a typical faucet is 1 cubic centimeter, you could calculate how long that measuring cup has been sitting under the sink by the number of drips per minute and how much water is in the measuring cup. That is humanism. It means that the conditions that we observe now have always been the same. The rate of change has always been the same. And so we can tell you how long the measuring cup has been in the sink. However, the flaw, when you compare this to cataclysm theory, is that someone was in the kitchen before you, placed the cup in the sink, turned the sink on, and shut it off, leaving it dripping. The cup has actually only been there a minute, not several hours, like you calculated with your stopwatch counting the drops. That's the difference. So what we see in the basalt record is clear evidence of occasional cataclysms, which do not allow humanistic views from a scientific process to backdate certain areas of the Earth. So, there is no rotation of the magnetism of the stone, which would be supported by the one continent approach. Well, hold on a minute here. Didn't we just say that Pangaea or Gondwanaland was a flawed idea, that all the continents weren't together on one side of the Earth? And didn't we just say that, gosh, if we look at the Earth from space, all the continental shelves kind of fit together really neat? Well, that's true, but they fit together very neatly on both sides. This means that not only were the land masses joined together on one place, they did so on a planet much smaller than our own. When we run the clock backwards, we see the story quite easily, and it doesn't look like the picture we have now. And after our network break, we're going to break for CNN News here in just a moment. We'll let you know what that really looks like out there. So while they're at break, we're going to listen to some music while they're driving around Phoenix, gripping their steering wheel, going, oh my gosh, what do you mean the planet's not built the way we think it is? Well, you're going to hear about it in about 4 minutes. We'll be right back with more X Squared Radio after this.
Well, I dreamed I saw the knights in armor come, saying something about a queen. There were peasants singing and drummers drumming, and the archers split the tree.
There was a fanfare blowing to the sun that was floating on the breeze. Looking Mother Nature on the run in the 21st century.
Well, I was lying in a burned up basement with the full moon in my eyes. I was hoping for a replacement when the sun burst through the sky.
There was a band playing in my head, and I felt like getting high. I was thinking about what a friend had said. I was hoping it was a lie. Thinking about what a friend had said. I was hoping it was a lie.
Well, I dreamed I saw the silver spaceship flying in the yellow haze of the sun. There were children crying and colors flying all around the chosen one.
All in a dream, all in a dream, the loading had begun. Flying Mother Nature's silver seed to a new home in the sun. Flying Mother Nature's silver seed to a new home in the sun.
The Alice Band, all a cappella, singing Neil Young's song After the Gold Rush. You want to know who that was? There's also a really cool version out there with Emmylou Harris and Dolly Parton that's pretty darn good. Wanted to know, if you want to advertise with X Squared Radio, and by the way, we are now the largest talk radio program on the BBS Radio Network, and the BBS Radio Network is certifiably the largest internet talk radio network in North America, which by default makes X Squared Radio the largest talk radio program in North America. And that includes Canada, those of you that are listening to other internet talk radio programs. And the reason we're number one is because we talk about the mysteries of the universe and of the earth, and we don't do conspiracy theories, and we don't do ghosts. And we go into the deeper science, which is sort of the cream of the crop of internet listeners. And so those of you that are sitting out there, you know, wondering if you can find a radio program with content, with passion, something that combines science with the spirit, something that talks about the physical and the metaphysical, then this is it. And we're certifiably about 20 million strong a week. That's a lot of listeners. So if you want to advertise with X Squared Radio, it's easy. There are two ways to do it. If you want to advertise in the Phoenix market, all you have to do is call KFNX 1100 at 602-277-1100 and ask for Francis. This is the number one radio program from 5 to 7 p.m. Sunday evenings on AM radio in Phoenix, Arizona. For those of you not familiar with that market, it is the seventh largest AM market in the United States. And if you want to advertise on this radio program, you want to reach that market, that this is the program to advertise on. It is also the number one radio program on the BBS Radio Network. And if you'd like to advertise on our websites or have content put into the program, you may write us at either bagnew at x2-radio.com or, very simple, Don, D-O-N, Don, at bbsradio.com. Write us, tell us you'd like to advertise on X Squared Radio, and we'll fix you up. And you'll reach those listeners that are sitting there with a PC and a credit card in their hands. You'll also reach those listeners that are driving around in the early evening of the Phoenix market, stretching out for 40 or 50 miles in every direction, depending on the condition of the ionosphere. If you want to do something amazing for your life and you live within driving distance of Sedona, Arizona, you need to click on the One Spirit Weekend banner at xsquaredradio.com. This weekend will give you more tools to work through the challenges of your life than anything else you could do. It's October 5th weekend. It's affordable and it's worth it. Click the banner today and get registered. If you're wondering how it all fits together, if you don't feel like you belong here, if you feel you're out of sync with the 3D world around you, if you feel like you are enlightened or you're awakening and you would like some guidance, you would like some inspiration, you want to talk to the experts who have done it, who have felt it, who know about it, that's the banner to click on, One Spirit Weekend. And don't forget to tell them and your friends you heard about it here on X Squared Radio. We will be back in about 40 seconds with X Squared Radio. We're going to keep covering Hollow Earth Theory. Don't go away. We'll be right back. Welcome back to X Squared Radio. What are we going to do about Earth being one-third its present size? I know that sounds hard to believe right now, but this may turn out to be just as sound a theory as plate tectonics. And guess what? We have hard evidence to back it up. Take the balloon of Earth. Let's just talk about it as a balloon with the continents stuck on the surface and then slowly let the air out. The continents will all fit together, including New Zealand, Australia, and Antarctica. Nice and neat. And if it fits, you must convict. And if you blow it back up, the tectonic plates, the continents, the continental shelves spread right back out, right where they are now. It makes it a lot easier to understand why you find seashells in Yellowstone Park, why you find trilobites in the hills of the Appalachians, why you find salt in the middle of Utah, and why the Indians, the old Indians, talk about an ocean in the middle of the Southwest. And after a loud, thundering earthquake one day, the ocean just disappeared into the ground. As the crust expanded and was forced apart by volcanic action, the plates knitted themselves back together with cooling magma. And this is still going on today on the seafloor. Just grab a copy of the video, the North Pole Inner Earth Expedition, and you can see it for yourself. Little cameras drop down on the seafloor where this volcanic action is taking place. The seafloor cracking open and filling in, cracking open and filling in. And as the crust separated from the core and began to expand, it began to slow down, just like an ice skater who is spinning very fast, and then she lets her arms extend. She slows down too. This is called conservation of momentum. There's only so much energy in the system, And as the diameter of the planet grows, the revolutions, the length of the day got longer and longer and longer. As the crust got further and further from the core, it cooled much more and much more, and it slowed more, and conditions got just right for water to stay liquid and not frozen. But think about it. Just think about it for a second. We left the core behind, and now we have a condition not unlike a magnetic generator. The core, this hard crystalline iron core, is spinning at its original rate of speed in space, while the crust is moving at a slightly slower rate. The counter-rotation does two things. First, it keeps the crust flexing and moving from resonant magnetism, which maintains volcanic action between the inner crust and the outer core. It also supplies the energy for building of earthquakes, and it also produces a very powerful magnetic field, which we call the magnetosphere. We have a caller on line one, Barry from Tucson. Welcome to the program.
Hey, Brooks. I think I missed something here. What you're saying is the dry ground is 1,000 orders of magnitude older than the seafloor?
That's correct.
Maybe, is that what you said? Yeah, okay. And yeah. Earth expanding in a thermodynamic fashion or something, and you feel it's going to cool down and contract?
Well, the theory is that the crust has expanded, and what's happened is the continents have broken apart from one another, and they've spread out on a much younger crust, which is below the sea floor. So as the ocean receded from the land and fell into the lower areas that we call the ocean floor, it left its seashells and its silt and its salt behind on our mountains all over our continents. And the seafloor is 70 million years old, and dry land is 2.5 billion years old. That's a big difference in age.
Okay, I follow your logic now. Okay, thank you for clarifying that.
Oh, no problem, no problem.
All right, sit back and listen. Thank you.
All right, you're welcome. So I just wanted to make sure, because a lot of you are listening in the Phoenix market, and you're getting broken up by four commercials per hour, another one coming up here in about 3 minutes. Picture it sort of like a balloon blowing up. Anciently, the Earth was a very small balloon with a hard crust all around it, and it was covered with water, except for the very, very highest mountains. And then you begin blowing the balloon up. And by the way, the balloon is stuck over, let's call it a baseball. And as you begin to blow the ball up, you notice that there's now a gap between the baseball and the skin of the balloon. Of course, you're blowing this nice blue balloon up, and as you do, you realize that the continents are at one level, and the balloon is way down low, and so all the water sinks down onto the skin of the balloon. But we now have a gap between the balloon skin and the baseball inside the balloon. Don't ask me how we got the baseball inside the balloon. I'm just using this as a figure of speech. So the core is rotating at its original speed, whatever that is. Let's say it's doing a day in 18 hours. And the crust is now doing a day in 24 hours and just a little bit. So what we have is a counter rotation. We have two magnetized metal bodies full of iron and magnesium and aluminum and copper, and they're rotating at different speeds, and that creates a very powerful magnetosphere. If it wasn't for this, the Earth would be sterilized on the surface. Not all planets have a magnetosphere. For instance, Mars has no magnetosphere, and its soil is completely sterile. Fortunately, we have a magnetosphere that protects us from solar radiation, and we are able to survive quite nicely on our surface and some very beautiful backdrops. So as our Phoenix market now drops into their local commercials for about 4 minutes, I want to let you all know that this coming October up in Burlington, Wisconsin, is the Vortex Conference. Now, for those of you not familiar with this, it takes place every year, but this year it's going to be really big. They have been building it and building it over the years. Mary Sutherland is one of the pioneers in ufology. And now the conference is getting large. I mean big. If those of you that have been to air shows up in Oshkosh, you know it's the largest air show in the world. Airplanes, all kinds of flying machines come there in the summertime. This is becoming, fast becoming, the UFO Mecca. This is where people are coming. It's in the north. It's beautiful weather up in the maple forests outside Burlington. And you're going to hear some great speakers. Jesse Marcel is going to be there. Stanton Friedman is going to be there. I'm going to be there. This is where you need to come if you want to find out what's going on currently in ufology. How do you get there? Okay, that's what we want to know. All you have to do is go to X Squared Radio and click on the Vortex Conference link. It's on the right-hand side, about halfway down. If you let them know that you heard about it here on X Squared Radio, you're going to get a discount. And that's important to you. What's important to me is that you get there and you hear what's going on. So please click on the Burlington Vortex Conference banner at X Squared Radio. You may never get a chance to hear from some of these witnesses again. It's important that you hear it. Now, you've also heard about the third volume of our trilogy, The Ark of Millions of Years. It was an Amazon bestseller twice, all three books. It completes the most comprehensive work ever done on the creation and destiny of the Earth, including the most accurate information about the events leading up to and following 2012. Those of you that have been to the movies lately, I'm sure you have seen previews for the upcoming movie on 2012. That's just a movie, folks. You want to find out what's really going on. You want to find out what the ancients really said about it. These are the books. These books are so good, they're being used as textbooks in universities. Yet they are easy to read, and they're full of visual information. And we took most of the photos. If you buy now, you will get all three volumes at a package price, and the first two volumes in audio, ready to download for free. If you don't like to read, don't worry about it. I read it for you. Get your copy today and get prepared. I promise you will enjoy the voyage. Now, if you want to know how to help with the North Pole Inner Earth Expedition, it's important. I know many of you have written, thousands of you have applied. Well, we finally figured it out, how you can be part of history. Now you can participate in the greatest expedition in the history of the world. Are you ready? It's easy. Go to facebook.com/nipie.org. That's N-P-I-E-E, stands for North Pole Inner Earth Expedition.org, and click on the fan box. It's really easy. You can just go to my Facebook, and you can click on it from there, or you can go to facebook.com/nippy.org, click on the fan box. All you have to do is share the widget on your profile. That's it. It's simple. It's free. And maybe some of your friends will do the same. We need 200,000 profiles with the widget in 30 days, people. Hey, Obama raised $600 million through social networking, a dollar at a time. All we have to do is raise two. Let's make the expedition voyage a reality by working together. Thank you so much in advance. We'll talk more about this later. We'll be back with X Squared Radio. We're talking about plate tectonic theory. We're talking about hollow earth theory. Don't go away, folks. This is it.
vital to space travel.
Okay, so here we have some conditions here we can work with theoretically. So what data is there that backs it up besides our little blackboard drawing we just did on the inside of your windshield? Don't erase it. We're going to come back to it in a second. Keep driving and just look around the mountains and stuff. It'll be all right. All right, seismology. Everybody knows what seismology is? No? Okay, another big word. This is where they listen to earthquakes as they go through the earth. It's a little bit like doing a CAT scan of the earth. Every time there's a big earthquake, it kind of thumps one side of the planet. Well, we have the United States Geological Survey, which is a series of listening stations around the world. And since the early 90s, they have been tied together real time. So when there's an earthquake on one side of the planet, other listening stations pick it up and report how much time it takes for that signal to go through the earth. Those signals are put together and it creates a seismogram, a picture, a drawing. Those of you that have had a CAT scan on your knee or on your shoulder, you know what those vibrations feel like. It kind of vibrates through your knee or through your shoulder at different frequencies, and the transducers on the other side pick up the time delays in a very narrow window across your tissue, and they can tell the difference between bone and between ligaments and different kinds of damage that might be done to your socket of one kind or another, and that's exactly how it works. So that's what they're doing. They're doing a big CAT scan of the Earth. And they pick up three kinds of waves. One is called shear waves, and the other are called P waves. Now, what are shear waves and P waves? Primary waves, secondary waves. Shear waves are slower. The primary waves are faster. The primary waves go sort of along the surface of the planet, and the shear waves go down through the planet. And they arrive at different times, and they kind of give a picture of the Earth. However, what happens, and you can do this just by going down to Barnes & Noble and picking up a book on seismology. If you'd like, just pick it up off the shelf and look in it. There's a third anomaly in this, we'll call it, and it's called the shadow zone. The explanation given in the textbooks is that this is where the S waves and P waves are blocked from coming through the planet by the core. And they actually display this with a dotted line going through the planet and coming out where they actually picked up the signal. I know it really looks corny, and honestly, it really is corny. Because if you take the very same signals that are picked up on the receiving end and you work them backwards to the source, you don't get any shadows. What you get is a nice, clean, clear picture of a 1,000 to 1,100 mile thick crust and a hollow Earth. That's what you get. So, you know, the baffling thing to me was the creation and acceptance of these shadow zones and thinking about how the Earth looks on the inside. When we do this CAT scan of the Earth, we get this image, and then we manipulate the image to fit our current theory. We don't look at the data and say, you know what, our original theory is flawed. We need to modify our theory and make it fit this data that we're getting, because the data is pretty real. Now, one would think that they would have analyzed all of these seismograms that they get. But that's not what happens. Everything takes grant money, you know. And they don't get grant money for stuff like that because it's not really important. And the Internet for seismology has really only been active since the mid-1990s. What is that, 10, 15 years? Maybe 20 years at the outside. And they're, you know, they've gathered a lot of data. And these are a lot of printed out seismograms and electronic versions of seismograms. Who wants to go through that? Well, guess what? Dr. Y Sessions with Washington University took some grad students and they actually reviewed 600,000 seismograms and crunched the data to see what image was really coming back using the data. You won't believe what they found. The news article that they published stunned the world. What was found was so fantastic. By the way, you know the root word for fantastic comes from the word fantasy. But this isn't fantasy, this is true. It was so fantastic that even Hollywood didn't know what to do with it. They discovered, hidden in the wave patterns, evidence of another ocean as large as the Atlantic Ocean beneath the Atlantic Ocean. That's right. The damping waves they discovered in these seismograms, which were collected by the USGS, were caused by water crashing against the shoreline. It was picked up hundreds of miles beneath the floor of the sea. This evidence did not support plate tectonic theory, nor did it support the idea that our planet is a large ball of molten rock bobbing through space with some cornflake-sized continents floating around on it. The evidence did not fit. This means that inside our planet Earth, underneath the Atlantic Ocean, is another ocean. If that is the case, and it is not exposed to the same sun we look up at every day, then it's a no-brainer, folks, that the water chemistry is different. And if it is different and it leaks through to our ocean, then there is a place where the two seas blend. And if there is such a place where the interior sea vents into the surface sea, and we can find that vent, then we can sample that water and prove that it exists. That is one of the planned experiments we have for the North Pole Inner Earth Expedition. The data from this experiment is going to be in three different categories. Of course, water chemistry, salinity, crystallinity, the level of the minerals in it. Where there are two oceans, the salinity, the salt content is going to be different. How it freezes on glass, the crystals that it forms when it freezes are going to be different. Because, you know, water has memory. It's not just H2O. Well, of course, it's H2O, but it also has sodium chloride floating around in it if it's dissolved in it if it's salt water. But it also forms complexes, not like crystals, but more like liquid groups or communities of molecules, and they can have tremendous effects when put into biological systems. And water has a memory like this. It picks up on energy systems around it, and it can be affected. Its wetness, its surface tension, even its toxicity can be changed with the energy levels around it, including human consciousness. Quickly before we break for the top of the hour, microbial life like plankton, diatoms, algae, and even single-celled animals might be of a completely foreign variety. Of course, once they mix into our ocean, they're going to be consumed by various life forms. They're not going to survive. They're going to be shocked and die and dissolve. And we're not going to see them down here in the Gulf Stream. But if we can get to the source, if we can get to the vent itself, we can take samples deep beneath the surface of the ocean, down around 4,400 meters deep up there in the Arctic Circle, maybe we can tell this story. And maybe there are complex life forms like fish, dolphins, whales, and perhaps mammals as well. A little hard to believe? Maybe, but I can tell you this. We're going to go find out, and you're going to go with us. We'll be back right after the CNN network break. Don't go away. More X Squared Radio coming your way. are listening on the internet. Welcome back to X Squared Radio. Listening to David Acton, The Prodigal. Our friends in Phoenix are going to rejoin us here in just a moment. You get the premium content listening to the internet. And you can go back and listen to the archives anytime you like. By the way, if you're not a member of the archives of X Squared Radio, it's pretty easy to do. Just go to xsquaredradio.com, click on the archives, click on subscribe, and less than a cup of coffee per month, you can listen to hundreds of hours of X Squared Radio. We're glad you're back with us. I can tell you that X Squared Radio would not be here if it was not for you. We greatly appreciate our internet audience all over the world, especially those of you down under. We're so glad you're with us. Good night, mate. We're talking about Hollow Earth Theory here, and as soon as our friends come back from the CNN network break, we'll continue. If you are planning your fall schedule after the kids go back to school, and you want to get out, you really want to see something interesting, you need to commit yourself to taking in a couple of conventions. So one I recommend is the Burlington UFO Vortex Conference. All you have to do is click on the Burlington UFO Vortex Conference banner at X Squared Radio, and this will get you to the registration page. You tell them you heard about it here on X Squared Radio, and you'll get a discount. You may never get a chance to hear from some of these witnesses again. Jesse Marcel is going to be there. If you're familiar with the Roswell case, he is a key witness. And they're not going to be around much longer. The government thinks they can hold out until all the witnesses have passed away. But such is not the case, my friends. We will prevail. This is X Squared Radio coming to you live from Western Idaho. If you want to call in, don't hesitate. 888-228-4494.
The spice expands life. The spice expands consciousness. Spice is vital to space travel.
Anywhere on planet, off planet, you can get to a cell phone tower, you can reach us. 530-776-5154. Don't be afraid, pick up the phone, give us a call. Next week on X Squared Radio, we have the author, the co-author of Witness to Roswell, Donald Schmidt, coming on the program. This is one you don't want to miss, people. We might even get Thomas Carey to come on with us. This is the granddaddy of all UFO cases. Sure, there have been pictures. Sure, there have been witnesses and sounds and even radar witnesses, but nothing like the Roswell case. If you haven't read this book, Witness to Roswell, now's the time to pick up your copy. It's been revised and expanded. They've got a lot more evidence. If you already have a copy, you need to get it again because the book is much thicker. They've gone back and gotten more interviews from people that have never been spoken of with before, and their properties have been surveyed. There's new evidence, folks, and they're going after it. Like FBI investigators, these guys are not letting go. They know more about it than anyone, and they're going to be on X Squared Radio next week. Don't pass it up. We're talking about Hollow Earth Theory. Now, we have gone through seismic data. We have gone through biological data in the ocean. Now, before we get too far into the Indiana Jones aspects of this voyage, and there are some, I want to talk to you about other evidence that supports Hollow Earth Theory. We've talked about the Earth-based data. Now let's talk about the space-based data. For about 18 years now, we have been looking at Earth using numerous wavelengths from satellites. Let me explain. Our eyes use what we call visible light. That consists of wavelengths of radiation energy between 375 nanometers, that's one billionth of a meter, and perhaps 950 nanometers. The smaller number represents ultraviolet, and the larger number represents infrared. Above that, you're starting it to get into the wavelength that you cannot see with your eye. And below that, you're getting into the wavelengths you can't see with your eyes. Some people can barely see into these ranges, but the rods and cones in our eyes are not sensitive to those wavelengths outside these ranges. And even if they were, you wouldn't be able to focus them on your retinas because your eyeball is designed to focus those wavelengths of light on your retina. Your little muscles of your eye contort your lens in order to get those to focus. But outside that, you just don't have the capability. Shorter wavelengths are absorbed into very thin films anyway, like polyester down to about gamma wavelengths. Even alpha particles are absorbed by organic layers very easily. So that's why you can't see everything that's going on, but trust me, it's there. So we have to utilize instruments in space to help us see outside those ranges, because there's a lot happening in frequency ranges we can't see with our eyes. You might not, for instance, believe in spirits because you can't see them, but when one slaps you in the face, well, you know it's there, even though you can't see it with your eyes, like the Invisible Man. Well, that's sort of what happened. We began scanning for the X-rays coming out of the Earth and reflecting off the Earth out into space, or fluorescing out into space. And guess what was revealed? Well, I'll tell you. There's a hole in the planet that is blank right near the North Pole. Not exactly at it, but near it. This is a place where there's no X-rays coming out. This means there's a void there. It means that the crust is very, very thin there. The thicker areas around it are drawing the rays toward it with gravity and emitting their own X-rays. Sort of like the old collector ring on TV sets. Some of you may not be old enough to remember that. But in the old days, before flat-screen liquid plasma TVs, the photon gun would blast a moving stream of electrons at a phosphorus screen called a picture tube, which made the image. But the TV makers didn't want those electrons to go through the glass of the picture tube and go through you. So a rigid high-voltage ring around the outside of the picture tube was made up, and this would attract the photons to the side after they produced the fluorescing effect that you saw as the moving picture. Well, the opening around the hole in the North Pole acts the same way. The strong polarity, the strong gravity of the crust around this thin area draws the X-rays to the side, leaving a blank space. Okay, there's more. For over a century, we believed that the aurora borealis, that's the northern lights, was caused by a solar wind that blows against the Earth. It comes from our sun most of the time. And it gets worse when there are solar flares or when there's a hole in the corona and streams of wind toward us. Well, two things happen. First, the scatter plot, that is an XY plot of comparing the solar wind velocities, which we report to each Sunday evening, compared to the appearance of northern lights. Guess what? They didn't match up. That is to say, there's no relationship that could be found between solar winds and northern lights. Gee, that's really funny. I mean, if you have a theory that says, okay, when the solar wind blows really hard, the gamma radiation or the cosmic rays strike the upper atmosphere, fluorescing into visible bands, which we can see with our eyes. Well, sometimes when the wind blew, you got no northern lights. And sometimes when there was no wind, we got northern lights. That's what it means. That's what it means. The second thing that happened, that occurred, was a satellite image of the Earth with an aurora occurring over both poles at the same time. Now, that's impossible for the solar wind to blow on both sides of a ball in space at the same time. Yet, there it was. There was the image. NASA gathered it itself, and they were as puzzled as you are right now. Now, those of us who analyzed this photo realized what was happening. The auroras weren't being caused from outside the earth. They were being caused from inside the earth. This made some sense to those who thought outside the box, but represented a great challenge for the science community inside the box. So very quickly, they put together a series of 5 satellites, put them into a can together, and launched it. February 2007, the Themis probes. You can look it up for yourself. Those 5 satellites revolve around the Earth independently. Occasionally, they line up enough to take a shot of what's going on at the Earth. And last year, they lined up, and they took a shot. And lo and behold, there was a burst of energy above the Earth, which half of it went out into space, of course, half of it down toward Earth, just as any ball exploding in space would do. And when it reached the surface, there was the Aurora Borealis. Wonderful observation. So they published an article. Okay, we have it figured out. It's a solar bullet. Yep, a solar bullet. What happens is the sun puts out some energy, it hangs out in space for a while, and then all of a sudden, for no reason at all, it explodes. And when it does, forms the Aurora Borealis. It happened between our satellites. We saw some of it go out into space and some of it reach Earth. That was their article. They had nothing to back it up. They didn't know whether it came from our sun. They didn't know whether it came from a black hole. They didn't know whether it came from a dimensional portal. They didn't have any evidence whatsoever. A solar bullet, that was the article. And it was kind of interesting. So then we started comparing that against other planets. And when we come back after these messages, those of you in the Phoenix market, we don't want to leave you behind. We know you have to break for local commercials. Go ahead. We here on the Internet will continue to discuss stuff. I want to let you know, people, that the phone lines are open, toll-free, 888-228-4494. And anywhere on planet or off planet, if you can reach us, if you can get to that cell phone tower, crawl your way over the mountain to get a clear signal. It only takes a couple of minutes to do. 530-776-5154. We're discussing Hollow Earth Theory in detail. You're getting what you would normally get in 31 minutes in visual form, sort of like a Discovery Channel documentary on steroids, by watching the North Pole Inner Earth Expedition Part 1 video. If you want to get a copy of that video, and it's good, I mean, you could sit down and you can watch it, you could show it to your friends, your kids will like it, you'll like it. You can get your own copy by just clicking on the online store. You'll see the link there at xsquaredradio.com. It says books. Just click on that. It'll go to the online store. You can order that. We'll send it out to you, and you'll enjoy it. It's, by the way, all the proceeds from the sale of that video go toward the expedition. The video is $20. Yes, that's a little pricey. You can buy videos for $6 or $7 on the Internet. We know that. We're not trying to make a dollar on it. We're trying to make $15 on it because we want to put the $15 toward the expedition. Also, if you want to help, you can be a part of history. You can really be a part of history in more ways than one. And there's a way to do this that is so simple now. We're going to tell you about it right now. All you have to do is open up Facebook or go to your browser and type in facebook.com/nipie.org. That's N-P-I-E-E, stands for North Pole Inner Earth Expedition.org. facebook.com/nipie.org, and then click on the fan box. Those of you that are familiar with Facebook, you'll know what to do. Those of you not familiar with Facebook, you just got into it, you want to put some cool stuff in your profile, get yourself noticed, how about adding a couple thousand fans right away? All you have to do is go there, click on that, and share the widget on your Facebook profile. That's it. It's simple, it's free, and maybe some of your friends will do the same. We need 200,000 profiles with the widget in 30 days. So let's get it done. All I can tell you is Obama raised $600 million through social networking. All we have to do is raise two. So let's make the expedition a reality by working together. Thank you very much in advance. So as we come back to our friends from Phoenix, we're glad you're with us. This is X Squared Radio. 45 minutes left. This is a 3-hour program, people. If you're not getting all 3 hours, you know what to do. Call the folks down at KFNX 1100. Tell them we want all 3 hours of X Squared Radio. We want to hear Don Schmidt.
The spice is vital to space travel.
Next week, witness to Roswell, the granddaddy of all UFO cases. My name is Brooks Agnew. We're coming to you live from Western Idaho. Welcome back. Some interesting things we also found as we looked out into space. Not only Earth. Some strange things going on in the poles of all the planets. That's right. We started looking at the poles of Saturn. 19 years now we've been flying around Saturn with Cassini. And guess what we found? At both poles, a strong infrared signature. Hexagon formations in the clouds above those planets. Some kind of resonant energy at the top and bottom of that planet. Jupiter, same thing. Venus, same thing. And on Earth, when we look at space pictures of hurricanes, like Hurricane Katrina, look it up for yourself. Go ahead, put Hurricane Katrina in Google and look at it yourself. Right in the middle, it's not a round eye. It's a hexagon, a six-sided shape in the middle. That's the rotational energy of these huge bodies when they get spinning. This is how the Aurora Borealis is made, like a mini quasar, strong streams of ions pouring out of the north and south pole of the Earth, blasting up into the ionosphere, spreading out and forming the Aurora Borealis, pouring out over the Earth, not randomly, but in a grid. We call it the Earth grid. And when you start connecting the hexagons together all the way around the planet, you get a grid of energy that's locked into the planet at the poles and at the very high mountains. And this has an amazing effect. This has been measured by NASA. They first discovered it when they sent astronauts into space for more than one day. What happened was they began to get anxious. They began to have anxiety. They began to have sleeplessness. They began to have paranoia. And they quickly pinned it down. Earth has a frequency. The planet Earth has a clock like tick-tock, a frequency 7.8 hertz. Very subtle. But it's tied into the human body, to the human consciousness. And when we're disconnected from it, like blasted out into space in a titanium can, when we're disconnected from it, we become disoriented. The grid of the Earth connects this frequency all around the planet. It is what ties us, the human being, to our planet. And when we're removed from it, we have anxiety, like we're pulled away from the matrix that gives us the security, the regulation of our biological systems. And so part of the thing that's going to be done with the North Pole Inner Earth Expedition is an experiment. You know what happens when you go to a convention. You know what happens when you go to a motivational seminar or you go to a training seminar. You come away high, you do, you come away, 3 days, I'm pumped, I'm ready to go back to work, I'm ready to make $1 million, I want to sell real estate. Yeah, I'm ready to do this. I don't care if it's hydraulic valves or cars. But it wears off. And one of the things that happens while you're at the convention for 2 or 3 days is you go out to eat at night with your buds, you go to the movies, you go to the bars, come on. You get distracted. Well, this expedition is 15 days long, and you're on a ship. There's no place to go. with 100 people, 150 Russian crewmen. You're in the worst conditions on the planet. There's no sundown. There's 70-mile-an-hour winds, 120-mile-an-hour seas. There's a lot of stress. It's a long day putting together all that data, gathering all the information, taking all the films, making all the files. You have 15 days. There's no turning back. There's no resupply ship. There's nobody coming. There's no extension cord. You're disconnected from everything. Under those conditions, the people on the expedition are going to change. And that's part of the experiment. We want to watch that. We want to film that. We want to see how, when we get people away from the electromagnetic signature of the cities and the hustle and bustle of their job, and they're tied into this very high consciousness, Indiana Jones effect of being in a very mystical, legendary place, looking for an opening that has been thought about, dreamed about, discussed for thousands of years, and no one has ever seen it. No one's ever photographed it. No one's ever taken a sample of it deep beneath the ocean, or peered over the edge of it, or flown over it with a helicopter. Nobody's ever photographed it. This is the film of the human condition that will be taken on this expedition. So what ties the human being to the Earth? And maybe a bigger question is, what ties the Earth to the human being? Great questions. We want to develop experiments to find out. That's why we have experts in the field coming with us. If we spend a little more time on finding out about Earth before we go out into space looking for answers, then who knows where we would be? Can you imagine it? Can you picture it? Can you see what it would be like on a nuclear-powered icebreaker, 23,000 tons, 450 feet long, 75,000 horsepower, charging out beyond the sea lanes to a place never sailed before? It's been covered by ice for 200,000 years, and now we can get to it by sea. Now we get to see, maybe, why we have such strange sea life showing up in our nets, why we have the aurora borealis forming above our heads, where the energy comes from, how does it measure. Nobody's ever been able to stay there long enough on the sea and make these measurements. This is the first time. This is like going to the moon. It's like going to Mars. And you get to be involved. How? Well, I'll tell you how. Because one of the neat functions of this entire thing is that we'll be streaming live from the ship. Cameras will be running on the ship, and you'll be able to see what's going on every minute of the day for 15 days. And you can tune in anytime, 24 hours a day, and find out what's going on. It could be interesting. So we have covered hollow earth theory almost to its completion now. Because one of the things that we know is the way our world looks now. We know that if we get in an airplane and we fly to Europe, we fly to Asia, we're going to look down and we're going to see a nice round ocean. We're going to see white caps and we'll get a little buffeting from the jet stream blowing around our planet. We know pretty much how it's made. But I can tell you, there's a lot of places on the Earth that have never been seen. There's a lot of our ocean that has not been explored yet. We don't know what the seafloor looks like. We know what part of it looks like. But in order to get an accurate picture of the seafloor, there's a certain type of sonar that has to be employed. It's called side scan sonar. Now, let me tell you a little bit about how this works. It's not like you sail around on the surface of the water and you ping the bottom of the ocean and you get a picture. It doesn't work that way. What you have to do is you have to drag a cable behind the boat. And at the end of the cable, just a few hundred yards off the bottom, is the sonar send-receive unit. And it sends out two sonar signals that bounce off the bottom, bounce back up the couple hundred yards to the receiver, and give the picture. Now, obviously, you can only get a short strip of the ocean bottom. So what you have to do is you got to drive the boat back and forth across the bottom and get these pictures in strips. And then you have to stitch them together by a trench or by a mountain ridge or by some kind of crack in the floor. You stitch the images together, and that's how you get an image of the seafloor. That's not too hard off the coast of Florida, where the water's 100 feet deep or 200 feet deep. We're talking about an ocean that's 4,500 meters deep. Yeah, that's close to 15,000 feet deep. That's not that easy to run a cable. That's 3 miles of cable if it goes straight down. 3 miles of cable plus what you're dragging behind the boat. And that also means that you can't go very fast. Maybe 2 knots or 3 knots. That's about it. It takes a long, long time at walking speed to get a picture like this across the bottom. Not very easy to do. So now you see the challenges of putting that together. And by the way, the Yamal is not set up to drag a cable like this. It takes a special ship. And you think about how much 3 miles of cable weighs. That's not one spool of cable. That's dozens of spools of cable put together, plus the electronics to get all the way down there to the bottom and back up, taking this image. It's a lot of money, a lot of expense, and takes a lot of time. And that's why we have no idea what the seafloor looks like above the 81st parallel. No idea. Nobody has ever scanned it. What we're going to do is try to take water samples and dirt samples off the bottom of the ocean, and that's not going to be that easy to do. There are ways to do it, but we have to get innovative to do it. We are going to do some under-ice diving and some photography, but it's not easy. It's one of those things that is challenging to put together. It's a little like spacewalking. Those of you in the Phoenix market are now breaking for the CNN news. We're going to carry on with the conversation on the Internet. Now, I understand that many of you are out there, and you're listening, but you're not calling in, because it's a little like an educational program tonight. And maybe I'm answering all of the questions for you, but I need to know you're out there. So I need you to pick up the phone, 888-228-4494. And if you're anywhere close to a cell phone tower, anywhere on planet, off planet, it's 530-776-5154. And in our last hour, we're going to change the subject, but I did need you to get this slug on hollow earth theory. A lot of you are going to go into work. You're at work right now, Monday morning, and you're tuning into the archive, and you're plugging in and listening with your headphones. And that's cool, too. We need you out there doing that. Many, many thousands of you out there sitting at your desks listening to X Squared Radio. That's wonderful. You're the backbone of X Squared Radio. But those of you that are out there listening live, there's nothing holding you back. Unless my personality is not one you want to talk to on the radio. But if it is, give us a call. Let us know you're out there. Let us know if you're interested in the expedition. One of the things that I find out as I travel around the world and talk at various conventions and interview people for this next book, which is called Remembering the Future, is I find out more people know about the Hollow Earth than knew about Middle Earth before the films came out. So that's pretty impressive to me that a lot of people think, oh, sure, the earth is hollow. They don't have any evidence, but they have a feeling. Or they've had dreams. And all that's interesting to me. All that's exciting to me. So if you want to call in, you know the earth is hollow, all this is old news to you because you're getting it another way, I would sure like to hear about it. So just give us a call and let us know. In the meantime, if you're planning your fall schedule, and you want to find out something really cool to do, and I mean cool by you want to really get to the heart, the meat and potatoes of the UFO subject. If you've always wanted to go to a convention discussing UFOs, but you've never had the opportunity, here is your chance. You need to click on the Burlington UFO Vortex Conference banner at X Squared Radio. This will get you to the registration page. You tell them you heard about it here on X Squared Radio, and they'll give you a discount. And you may never get a chance to hear from some of these witnesses again, like Jesse Marcel. This is a guy that actually held the stuff in his hands. You want to talk to these eyewitnesses. You want to hear what they have to say. Trust me. You also should have a chance, if you haven't done so already, to see the video called The Horizon Project. It is the most compelling video documentary ever done on the coming cataclysm of Earth. I'm talking about the polar shift. Do not rely on Hollywood for your future. Go to the science. Click on the Horizon Project banner at X Squared Radio and get the video in your hands today. Also, if you've heard about the third volume of our trilogy, The Ark of Millions of Years, it was an Amazon bestseller twice. It completes the most comprehensive work ever done on the creation and destiny of the Earth, including the most accurate information about the events leading up to and following 2012. The books are so good, they're being used as textbooks in universities. Yet they are easy to read, and they're full of visual information. And if you buy now, you will get all three volumes at a package price, and the first two volumes in audio, ready to download for free. And if you don't like to read, don't worry about it. I read it for you. Get your copy today and get prepared. We're coming to you live from Western Idaho. And our AccuWindow forecast is about 85 and clear. We're glad you're with us. 40 seconds. More X Squared Radio on the way.
The spice expands consciousness. The spice is vital to space travel.
Welcome back to X Squared Radio, especially those of you in the Phoenix markets. Alona, you're on line one and you're on X Squared Radio. Welcome to the program.
Hi, thank you. The evidence is overwhelming in your favor, I think, but my question is, if the government knows about this, do you have any theories as to why they would be covering it up?
Well, I don't know that they're covering it up. I think the only ships that really could have made this voyage before would have to be military submarines. Mm-hmm. And if submarines, I have a friend that sailed under the Arctic ice cap twice in a Ohio-class submarine. I tried to get him to tell me more about it, but he said it's classified. And I really tried to get him to tell me about it. I mean, I even inebriated him and tried to get him, and he wouldn't tell me. Mm-hmm. So, but I did ask him, you know, did you see anything weird? I mean, did your ship turn upside down? Did you get lost for 3 months or anything like that? And he said no. So the only thing I can think of is that they probably have not sailed into it. I think Admiral Byrd flew over it because... Mm-hmm. He flew his plane at 2,500 feet, which I can't get anyone to do today. That makes, in my book, Admiral Byrd an aviation hero. But he didn't take a camera with him. He didn't take any photographs. So the only thing we have is his testimony and that of his crew, verbal mm-hmm. testimony. So I too think that the evidence is piling up. But the one thing that's missing is getting off the armchair and getting on the ship and going and finding out for ourselves.
Right. I don't understand why the government won't support you or why they haven't started their own investigation. That it just doesn't make sense to me.
Well, as I said, it would have to be a military vessel. And I don't think they're going to be steaming for the North Pole and sailing around in Russian waters. That would be provocative, even though the Russians are patrolling off of our east coast. But, you know, from what I can tell, there have been no civilian ships that have ever made this trip. For one thing, the ice wasn't even open until the year 2007. For another thing, the only other ships that can make it are diesel-powered. And they can get there and back, but they can't get there and stay. And the ones that I've spoken to have said that there is an oceanic depression. They've sailed through it before, around it, where sea level is not sea level. And that's really interesting to me.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Do you have any concerns about any organization or any group trying to stop you, trying to stop the expedition from happening?
I used to, but I think that they realize that it costs so much to put something like this together that they really don't have any worries about anybody raising the money and being able to. And in other words, they don't think we can do it. They
right.
do not think that the millions of people that are interested in this project can raise enough money to actually fund the voyage and make it happen. So they don't spend any energy on it at all.
Right.
Now, that's not to say that if we do get funded and we make this global press release, the North Pole Inner Earth Expedition is now funded, the ship is paid for, we're taking off such and such a day, 2010, that they won't come forward and say, well, we're not giving you visas to go to Russia.
Right.
That can still be done. But I can tell you, if anything like that happens, it's going to be posted immediately.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, with regard to the way people say the extraterrestrials have helped us with technology that most of the public doesn't know about with regard to space travel and what's going on the moon and other places in the solar system, do you think that they are somehow involved with government cover-up for what's going on inside the Earth? And
well, that's a really interesting question. You really hit the Indiana Jones aspect of this thing right on the head. If we're out there in a remote area where really nobody has looked at the ocean floor for forever, as long as men have been on the Earth, it does sound like it would be a dandy place to hide, you know, big UFOs, big motherships sitting there on the bottom, minding their own business, mining our ocean or our seafloor. And if they're there, and they know that we're coming, maybe some contact of one kind or another can be made. Now, there are two schools of thought on aliens being on the Earth. One is that they're friendly and they're here to help us, but they're kind of shy and they don't want to get involved because they want to see if we can make it on our own. The other is that they're malevolent and they're working with the evil forces of the world and they're trying to take over the world using the greed of men as their mechanism, feeding weapons to both sides and trying to keep us at war until we destroy ourselves. I don't really hold to either school of thought. I think if I spent all the energy to get 8 years or 50 years or 187 years across space to here, I probably would want to work with the life forms that are here. And I'm not really sure why they don't come out in force. I don't really mean to use that word. I mean come out in mass and say, we're here and we're here to help and there's nothing you can do about it. On the other hand, maybe there's some galactic rule of intervention or interruption. Although if you read Zachariah Sitchin's work, they've already been here and done that. So maybe those rules don't apply either. There are a lot of questions
right.
about it. A lot of questions.
Mm-hmm. Well, just hypothetically, say, for example, they've been on this planet a lot longer than we have, and they think that they have some kind of territorial rights, and they just don't feel kindly about us going into certain areas that they've inhabited for a while, you know. So, you know, if if these forces are in contact with the government, maybe, you know, could it be that they're telling the governments worldwide that, you know, this area is off limits, that you guys can grow and develop on the surface, but that's it.
Well, that would be kind of disappointing.
Yeah.
I'd like to get a memo to that effect. All the communications that I've had, and I'm not saying I've had any, have been the opposite. It's been, okay, we've been separated for a long, long time, and if it's possible to send a peaceful envoy to this area, we agree to meet. And they don't mind doing it on film. Maybe it's for a reason, that it's there to, A, show the population of the world that we're not alone, and B, with the coming cataclysms, if they're cosmological or if they're geological, the ancients are pretty sure something rather upheaval is going to happen in the area around 2012, and we're going to need some help, and we're going to need a place to go.
Right.
And maybe that's what they're here to do.
Right. And
how
perhaps,
do you feel about
it? How do I feel about this?
Sure. How do you feel about it?
Well, I feel if there are beings there, I don't feel that they're all malevolent, but I also have to feel that through our evolving as a race, the fact that we're reaching out and we're trying to find answers, it seems like they should in turn reach out with their hand and give us a helping hand. As long as we're showing that we're trying and that we want to know, they should come forward and, you know, play more of a brotherly role, in my opinion. And maybe that'll happen. Maybe
who would they extend the hand to? Would they extend the hand to the president, or would they extend the hand to the Pentagon? You know, both of those forces are going to consider anything that can outfly an F-23 to be in clear present danger.
My feeling is that maybe the more benevolent ones would be extending a hand to those not politically associated with anything, you know, the everyday man, so to speak, because they have no agenda. They have no nothing to gain, nothing to lose except knowledge, you know.
When you get right down to it, the human body is only a biological transducer for a much more ancient and eternal being that's on the inside, right?
Mm-hmm.
So maybe they have a similar being, only they have a biological transducer that lasts a lot longer than ours, maybe 20 or 30,000 years. And it's interesting to watch this spirit of humanity go around and around and around mortality and learn generation after generation. But it would seem that we'd learn a lot more if we could live a lot longer. On the other hand, maybe the caretakers of the universe, the caretakers of this earth, or the visitors, if they're more advanced than us, are rather upset with us right now because we have exploded numerous nuclear weapons on this planet, and we have thousands more poised at each other at this very minute.
Yes, very disappointing.
So I'm not really sure what to make of that. I mean, gosh, what if they're just picking up CNN's news feed? That would be enough to make them disappointed in humanity right there.
Mm-hmm. Well, I wish you success, and I just hope that everyone pulls together on this. I think it's very important research. With all the mounting evidence, I think we should follow through and try to get to the bottom of it.
That's what we want to do. We want to mount more evidence. And
yeah.
I can't tell you how much I appreciate you calling me tonight. I've been sitting here all by myself with my headphones on and thousands of people listening out there, and you're the one who called. So I thank you so much.
Okay. Thanks for updating us on the science of the hollow earth. That's been very interesting to listen to you.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Okay. Have a good night.
You too. All right, those of you in the Phoenix market, I want you to pick up the phone and give us a call. You got your cell phone there. I know you don't have a PC and a credit card, but that's okay. You can call in. Toll free, the number is 888-228-4494. We are talking about hollow earth theory. You haven't even seen this on Discovery Channel. You've never seen it on History Channel. But the evidence and the science is very old, and it is mounting more quickly now than ever. Edmund Halley, you remember, Halley's Comet? Yeah, was a very prominent, well-respected scientist in the 1600s. He believed the Earth was hollow. And there's a lot of geological, mathematical data to back it up. And even the, well, let's call it thin crust gravitation mathematics of Newton, those of you that know that stuff off the top of your head, you'll remember, if you know that mathematics, that thick shell mathematics is only an infinite rework of thin shell gravitational mathematics. That means that if you find yourself on the surface of the planet, you have gravity. But once you step inside the sphere, gravity goes to zero because all the opposing forces around cancel each other out. That's what the mathematics say. That's what Newton has taught our physicists in our schools. However, we have now drilled 8 miles into our crust, and I can assure you that that steel is not weightless. It hangs on an immense Kelly. A Kelly is like a giant brake that holds onto that steel. And it only releases the steel a few inches at a time, just enough to apply pressure to the drill head, which is being powered by mud as it's pumped down the center of the drill pipe and then up out the outside to carry the cuttings to the surface. I got news for you. The mud and the drill pipe weigh just what they're supposed to weigh when they're hanging on that Kelly. No weightlessness that far into the planet. However, when you get all the way inside the planet, all the way to the center, isn't it a little bit like standing at the North Pole and looking in every single direction and it's south? Yeah, there's no west, there's no east. Everything is south from the North Pole. So when you're inside the very center of the planet, isn't there only up? And isn't all the mass of the planet above you? So if the mass of the planet is above you, isn't gravity pulling away from you? Yeah, exactly right. And when you put a planet, you accrete a planet. I'll tell you what an accretion disk is. When dust collects in space, and thanks to Hubble, we have seen lots of this in space. Of course, it's been colored for your viewing pleasure. But when you look at the dust in space, it's swirling and it's gathering and it's pulling itself together ever so slowly. But as it accretes and forms these coagulative balls, these aggregates, first small asteroids, then little larger planets, and as the dust cloud gets smaller and smaller, it spins faster and faster. When the ball forms, it's molten, it's hot, and it's spinning like mad. It does one of three things. It gets enough energy on the inside of it collected, it spontaneously explodes. And when it does, it blasts free-floating planets, asteroids, moons, everything out into space again, never to orbit again. The second thing that it can do is it can get lopsided, and it can spin so fast as a molten ball that it spits off a piece of itself like a moon. We have evidence of that in our own solar system. Venus spun so fast it spit off a piece of itself, which became a large moon called Mercury. Mercury broke away from the orbit of Venus and now forms its own orbit around the sun in the perfect harmonic of all the planets in the solar system. Except for one that's missing. Yeah, there's a harmonic ring around the sun that has no planet on it. We don't know why. Because we got here late. But the third condition, we call it the Goldilocks condition, is when things are just right. The planet doesn't explode. It doesn't spin so fast it spits a piece of itself off. It just expands and cools, like slowly blowing a balloon up. And what happens is you get conditions that are just right, but you also get planets that form as hollow spheres, not as solid balls. When you think about planetary gravity from the inside out, the way Einstein would do, let's take an elevator ride to the center of the Earth. That's the picture you get, folks. Planets form as hollow spheres, not as solid balls. Didn't we just throw Pluto out as a ninth planet in our solar system because why? Because it was hollow. Oh my gosh, it was hollow. Sorry, doesn't qualify as a planet. Let's throw it out. Got news for you. They're all hollow. And the sun as well. Think about it. We live on a hollow sphere, and inside the hollow sphere is a hard, shining, not molten, but possibly white-hot, iron crystalline core. The Japanese have confirmed it with spectrographic analysis. It's revolving faster than the crust. It generates a magnetosphere around the planet. But wait a minute, doesn't that leave like thousands of miles of open space between the inside of the crust and the core? Well, maybe 1,000 to 1,200 miles. Well, let's think about the atmosphere around the Earth. How high do we fly our airplanes? Oh, about 40,000 feet, about 8 miles. How high does the space shuttle, the space station, fly above the Earth? Oh, 247 miles or so. And that's outer space. Inside the planet, there is no vacuum. There is no vacuum of space. That means that the distance between the surface of the core and the inner surface of the crust is filled with air. Now we're talking an atmosphere of 1,000 to 1,200 miles. That's a lot different than the atmosphere above the Earth. A lot different. It's a greenhouse. Not a sun like we have, a fusion sun putting off ultraviolet light, but an infrared sun, one burning in the visible light range. Not burning, but molten, putting off heat, insulated by air, blocked by clouds. And what you get are perfect growing conditions for plants, and no seasons. There is no winter, spring, summer, and fall. There is no wind. There is no darkness, only light, a soft glow all the time, perfect growing conditions for giantism in plants and maybe in animals, and no ultraviolet light to cause dimerization of DNA. And maybe that is the source of aging. And so maybe the life that is inside the Earth, and we're not saying that there's any complex life inside the Earth. We're not saying there are civilizations with cities and large animals roaming around. But I can tell you this, as a biologist, as a chemist, as a physicist, I can tell you this. If there is a void there, there will be life. It might be microbial. It might be multicellular, it might be more complex than that, but there will be life. And we want to go discover it. Are you with us? Would you like to join us? Well, there's a way to do it, and it's so simple, and it won't cost you anything. All you have to do is go to Facebook. Facebook.com. Put a / and put in NIPE.org, North Pole Inner Earth Expedition.org, NPIEE.org. When that comes up, click on the fan box and then share the widget on your Facebook profile. That's it. That's all you got to do. It's simple. It's free. And maybe some of your friends will do the same. We need 200,000 profiles, Facebook profiles with the NIPE widget in 30 days. come on, people, we can do it. Won't cost you a thing. Very simple to do. Add thousands of friends, really high quality friends, to your Facebook. Facebook.com/nippy.org. Click on the fan box and add the widget to your profile. Obama raised $600 million through social networking. All we have to do is raise two, and the expedition is a reality. We can rent the Russian ship, we can make our way to the North Pole, and we can provide you the film, and all you have to do is go to facebook.com/nippy.org and grab the widget. The greatest expedition in the history of the world to discover if the Earth is hollow or not. We can theorize on it, and we have. We can develop experiments to prove the theory, and we have. Now, we want to conduct the experiments. We want you to be part of it. We want you to watch it live on streaming video coming from a 23,000-ton, 450-foot-long, nuclear-powered icebreaker above the Arctic Circle. This is deadliest catch on heroin, people. Come on. It'll be the most exciting expedition ever conducted, and we can do it together. Those of you in the Phoenix market, we will see you next week right here, 5 o'clock, xsquaredradio.com. Bring your friends. Bring your friends. We'll be with you. We'll be back in 5 minutes.
Behind, behind.
If you are a small business, a large business, or just thinking about going into business, you must have a business card. If you think it's expensive, it takes 2 weeks to get, you're wrong. Click on Vistaprint's logo at X Squared Radio, and you can get quality business cards for free. How about that? Is that cheap enough? And if you want premium backgrounds, shiny coatings, two-sided printing, and even your own logo on the card, they can do it and get it to you within 2 days. Is that fast enough? Come on. Click on the Vistaprint's banner at X Squared Radio today and make your mark in business. If you want to do something amazing for your life and you live within driving distance of Sedona, Arizona, or you want to fly there because you've never seen the place before, you need to click on the One Spirit Weekend banner at X Squared Radio. This one weekend will give you more tools to work through the challenges of your life than anything else you could do. It's going to be extremely uplifting. Very, very powerful speakers at this event. It's October 5th. It's affordable and it's worth it. Click the banner today and get registered. And don't forget to tell them and your friends that you heard about it on X Squared Radio, the One Spirit Weekend banner. Later on in October, if you want to get up into the Wisconsin area, Burlington, Wisconsin has the Vortex Conference occurring. This is going to be the granddaddy of UFO conferences this year. You get to hear great speakers like Stanton Friedman and Jesse Marcel. And just trust me, you're really going to like it. If you've never heard anything about UFOs, you've never been to a public event on UFOs, this is not the one where people wear the aluminum hats and the little antenna. This is serious stuff, people. This is where the rubber meets the road, so to speak, in ufology. These aren't the crazies. These are the serious people looking at serious evidence, real hard evidence that we are being visited from beyond. If you click on the Vortex Conference banner at xsquaredradio.com, this will get you to the registration page. You tell them you heard about it on X Squared Radio, and they're going to give you a discount. You may never get a chance to hear from some of these witnesses again. Do it today. These witnesses are getting old. They're not going to be around forever. And you're going to regret getting to ask Jesse Marcel a question yourself about whether he held that funny little medal in his hands or not. Phone lines are open this hour. It's just you and me. Our friends in Phoenix are off listening to some animal lost and found program. Toll free 888-228-4494. And anywhere else on planet or off planet, even New York, you can give us a call, 530-776-5154. There are some great, oh man, there are some really great stuff happening out there. If you've read the news at all, it's kind of hard to miss that a lot is going on in the world of energy. Oh my gosh, has there been some news on that this week? And there's going to be more. Because later on this summer, things like alternative fuels are going to be addressed in some of the federal funding coming out. Lots of companies looking for it. The interesting thing about it is, most of it's focused on algae, biodiesel, cellulosic ethanol. People want to know what cellulosic ethanol is. Well, the old-fashioned way of making ethanol was, well, just like they did it in the hills of Kentucky. You get a little bit of corn, you make a little mash, you heat it up, you got the picture. That's the way ethanol was made, and that's the way we tried to catch up with Brazil. Although Brazil uses sugar beets. And what we used was corn. Now, with the financial incentives that were offered corn farmers, guess what they did? That's right, they grew corn. Corn on corn on corn. And they started to deplete the land. They started to ruin it. And the only people that were making more money than the corn farmers were the people building corn silos. And on it went until they exhausted all the federal money. And then they exhausted all the food supply. And now we've got ourselves into a pickle. So the federal government and those in the National Renewable Energy Labs have said, let's come out with some grants that'll help those that are willing to grow algae and make biodiesel, those that are willing to use the junk, the corn stover, the stalks, the cobs, switchgrass, oat shells, all the things that you don't use to make food, the cellulosic part of the food. And let's see if we can make fuel out of it. Let's see if we can make fuel additives out of it. And that's what they're trying to do. Now, theoretically, it's been done. Oh, the Tennessee Valley Authority got involved, and the National Renewable Energy Lab got involved, and they went through millions and millions of dollars, and they built pilot labs. And guess what they did? They proved that you could make ethanol out of that stuff. And not just ethanol. No, 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 no. You could also make other things. You could make interesting chemicals. One of the things that they made was a neat little chemical called furfural. No, you don't really know what that is. Okay, let me explain it to you. Quaker Oats was a big company that made, and they still make, oats for human consumption. But they don't use the shells. The shells they threw outside in a big pile. I mean a big pile. And lo and behold, at the bottom of the pile, after a couple of years, left all to itself, a couple of winters, three winters, this brown goo began to come out from underneath. It was a mess. Started getting into the surface water. People were complaining. And so the officials at Quaker Oats said, hey, guys, go take a sample of that stuff and see what we can do with it. Maybe we can use it. Well, turns out it was a very interesting molecule. As the cellulose from the oat plant began to break down, that in the shell, it began to make a very interesting compound. And from this compound, all kinds of neat stuff could be made. Man, they could make fertilizer, and they could make pesticides, and they could make fibers, and they could make all kinds of neat stuff. It was a really neat molecule that could be used in a variety of polymers. And it was natural. And it was plentiful. And so Quaker Oats began to be one of the biggest producers of furfural in the world. That is, until the Chinese got involved. The Chinese began making furfural and put Quaker Oats' furfural operation out of business. Lickety-split, it was done. Well, now we're back around. The circle has come around, and we're looking at cellulosic ethanol, and it takes a lot of money to get it started because although they can do it in the lab and they can do it on the pilot scale, when the feedstock, that's the junk that you put into the tank and be carefully controlled, it hasn't really been tried in the real world where you're grabbing stuff with a front loader and you're putting it into a big grinder and it's got all kinds of stuff in it, bugs and gravel and, you know, pesticides that have been used on the plants and everything. That hasn't been tried yet. So it takes a little bit of first investment money. And you know where that usually comes from. You got it. It comes from you, the taxpayer. They go to the taxpayer and they say, okay, people, we're going to use a few $100 million of your money, and we're going to see if private industry can pull us out of the soup here. We're going to see if we can make ethanol from the junk. And maybe we get a couple of products out. We get the ethanol, we get the furfural, and maybe the cellulose that comes out of the end of that we can burn. And we can have a clean burning fuel that can supplement coal plants with and clean up their emissions. Well, that's what it's all about. That's what people are looking for. Oh, and by the way, there's an interesting little commodity that comes out of this. It's not a chemical. It's a money. It's a chit. It's a little chip. It's a little check. It's called a carbon credit. A carbon credit. You've heard about that in the news, haven't you? Well, this is where it comes from. It comes from the folks that make cellulosic ethanol. It comes from the folks that grow algae, that make ethanol, to make hydrogen, to make nitrogen, to make oil out of. Oh, that's right. I forgot to tell you. Nobody's doing it. That's right. There's not a single solitary commercial establishment in this country on either of those fronts, either making biodiesel from algae or cellulosic ethanol from cellulose. It's coming. Oh, it's coming fast. The wave is building. But private investment is not nearly as good as federal investment for first money in. That stuff starts coming due in about September. And there are some really interesting companies that have applied. If you go to the National Renewable Energy Lab's website, you'll see there are 12 companies listed there. 12 experts in the area of cellulosic ethanol and in the field of growing algae and making algae make the oil for you. One of those companies applied for a grant. We don't know if it's going to get it yet, and I can't give you the name of the company because that wouldn't be ethical, but I'm going to tell you what it does. They have figured out a way to grow the algae, and they figured out a strain of the algae. Now, it doesn't take a brain surgeon to go around the planet and see oil wells pumping every day, everywhere. If you've been to Bakersfield, you've seen it. If you grew up in Seal Beach or Huntington Beach, you had oil wells in your backyard. Where your malls are now, that's where the oil wells used to be. And these were deep ones, folks, and they pumped oil for 50 years. All over Louisiana, all over Kentucky and Tennessee, Texas, Kansas, they're everywhere, pumping away. You know where the oil came from? Oh, at first we thought it was from dinosaurs. You remember the old Sinclair commercials where the dinosaur goes down into the well? Nonsense. Did not come from there. It came from algae. Algae. You remember, well, maybe you don't remember, but maybe you do from school. Our planet was once covered with carbon dioxide from volcanic activity. Perfect growing conditions for a little microorganism, a single-celled plant called algae, dropped off on our planet by some moving ice asteroid or cometary tail. Algae floated into our oceans and began to go to work. Here it was in liquid water. Here it was in an atmosphere full of carbon dioxide, and it bloomed. And it converted carbon dioxide into oxygen. 1 million years, 10 million years, 100 million years, and the CO2 was consumed, and it was turned into oxygen. That's right. About 21% of our atmosphere is oxygen, all produced by algae. And then the algae died in mass. By the tons, by the billions of tons, by the trillions of tons. And it found its way into the crevices and the deep openings of the earth as the crust expanded and cooled, and the algae turned into oil. And that's what we're pumping out of the ground. And it will end soon, because the algae are no longer growing down there. Those are the dead algae. The new algae, the new technology, is to grab a hold of this wonderful little biological, or should I say botanical engine, feed it sunlight, and feed it CO2, and a few little sprinkles of minerals, and we will get all the oil we need, and in addition to that, we'll get some nice omega-3 protein that we can add to our milk and our meals and our cattle and our chickens, and it's healthy. Oh, and there's two other advantages to it I forgot to tell you about. The first one is it burns clean, no pollution. And the second one is nobody has to go to war for it. Two wonderful side effects of algae for biodiesel. And so very soon when you are exposed to a company that turns algae into biodiesel, a publicly traded company. When you start seeing that press and you start seeing the advertisements for these companies, I want you to go to check their websites out. Be careful. Some of the websites are very glitzy, very professional, very high dollar. Make sure that they're actually doing it and not talking about it. Believe me, there are only two companies out there doing it, and there are 20 companies talking about it. I'm not exactly sure, but you might be able to find their ads at xsquaredradio.com. Go there, check them out, and see if you can't make your own decisions as to whether or not you want to participate or not. The bottom line is this. One of these days, you're going to be able to put diesel fuel in that truck or that Mercedes-Benz or that Volkswagen that burns diesel, and you're going to be able to get it straight from algae. That's solar-powered diesel. Now, when you talk about gasoline and ethanol as opposed to diesel, I got to tell you about energy return. Energy return on investment. In other words, by the time you put the diesel fuel in the tractors, they do the plowing, they do the planting, they do the fertilizing, they do the bug spraying, they do the harvesting. By the time you pay the electricity to go through and heat it all, separate it all, centrifuge it all, filter it all, when you get to ethanol, you're talking about a one-for-one return. By the time you spend all the diesel, by the time you spend all the labor and the electricity and all the maintenance, you get about dollar for dollar back when you burn it in your tank. It isn't worth it. You don't get enough energy for the effort. But when you're talking about diesel, the story is completely different. When you're talking about diesel, you're talking about a 3-to-1 return on investment. That's right. If it takes you a dollar to make a gallon of biodiesel, you get $3 back. How about that? Now that's a return on energy investment. When Rudolf Diesel came up with his famous diesel engine, which now pulls every single pound of freight across our country by rail, by barge, and by truck, he didn't do it with petroleum. He did it with vegetable oil. That's right. Rudolf Diesel, the inventor of the diesel engine, wanted us to run our vehicles on vegetable oil. But of course, as you well know, it's the petroleum companies that make diesel fuel in this country. Well, that's about to change. The throttle grip, the chokehold that the oil companies have had on our country and others around the world is about to go away. At least as far as diesel fuel goes. Now, does that mean that their power is going to disappear? No, it does not. For every barrel of oil, you only get 65 gallons of gasoline. Yes, you could turn the whole barrel into gasoline. You could, but it would be so expensive you couldn't afford it. It'd be $10 a gallon. So what's the other goodies that they get out of a barrel of oil? Oh, my goodness, let me tell you, they get polymers for fibers, the clothes that you wear, the tennis shoes that you wear. They get compounds for drugs. They get pesticides, coatings, pigments. They get plastics. They get fibers for electronics. They get coatings for wood, all kinds of materials, solvents such as acetone that you clean the fingernail polish off your fingers with, MEK, toluene, all these wonderful solvents that we use in our chemical industry, and they get a lot more out of them than you do gasoline. So they would love to stop making gasoline. They would love to stop making diesel fuel. 65 billion gallons a year of diesel fuel in this country. Or maybe it's 35 billion. I might be off a little bit on my numbers. But that's a lot of petroleum. If we could replace half of that, just half of it, with domestically grown algae for biodiesel, we're not talking farmland, we're just talking flatland, we're not talking drinking water, we're talking brackish water, We're not talking using up any resources whatsoever. We're talking about generating fuel and generating high-quality protein. And we're talking about generating oxygen. And the only thing it consumes is sunlight and CO2 and a little sprinkle of minerals, which are so in such high quantity in this country that it's almost free. All you have to do is invest in the right company, and that can happen. The question is, and the question you should ask yourself, the question you should ask your congressman, your senator, your governor, is the government going to step up and support these companies that have this technology, or are they going to continue to pour it down the rat hole of federal investigation and federal labs that never generate anything? They only consume money. They never build a thing. They never provide us any fuel. That's the question I want you to ask them. Have I got energy on it? Yes. Should you have energy on it? Yes. And let me tell you, if you'll just pick up the keyboard and just go to the U.S. Congress or U.S. Senate website, find out who your congressman is, find out who your senator is, find out who your governor is. I promise you, they have a way for you to write them. If you write them a note, it's the same as 500 votes. Every single one of those notes is worth 500 votes. I'm telling you, they pay attention. If you will write them and you will say, we want private industry to pick up this production of algae into biodiesel. We want to become independent of foreign oil. And we want to quit throwing money up a horse's rear by giving all the money to the big oil companies and start giving the money to the small companies that are actually doing the progress. That's what we want you to do. I promise you, 100 words from your fingers and your mind is worth more money than you can imagine in Washington. Because in Washington, as at least as far as elected officials, especially congressmen, it's all about one thing and one thing only. And you know what that word is. It starts with an R. It's called re-election. And re-election occurs by responding to voters. If you don't respond to voters, they will fire you. And they have the power to fire you. If you will write the notes to your congressman that you want private industry in your state to start growing algae to make biodiesel, we can replace petroleum, half of it, used for diesel fuel in this country. Let me tell you why that number half is magical. That number half is magical in the world of diesel fuel, because we buy half our oil from foreign sources. That's right. If we stopped buying foreign oil, they would have no control over us, and the price of oil would drop, which means we could afford to do things. And we'd be cleaning up our atmosphere at the same time, and we'd be producing millions of tons of high-protein food that could be fed to our animals and can even be processed for human use. If you've ever bought a half gallon or a gallon of milk that's been fortified with omega-3, comes in a little red carton. You know what I'm talking about. If you haven't bought any, at least go to the store and look at it. Look at the label, flip it over, look at the label, and look at the ingredient. Ah, you see that? Algal oil. Algae oil. That's where the omega-3 comes from in the milk you're drinking. And it's extremely expensive. So if you're thinking about going in the farming business, forget about the tractors. Forget about the plows and the chemicals And forget about the weather and paying attention to how much rainfall you get and blah, 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 blah. Come on. If you've got flat property, I don't care if it's a parking lot. I don't care if you have 100 acres of tennis courts. You can grow algae and you can make money because it's fuel and it's food. And there are biodiesel plants all over the country that will buy that oil off of you. And there are food processing places that will buy that protein off of you. There are feedlots that will pay $300 a ton for that protein because it's the best in the world. And that's what you have laying before you. So when you're out there looking for your investment, you're looking at your 401k dwindle away through the inept, irresponsible hands of your mutual funds, when you're watching that disappear like yesterday's rainfall in the middle of the street and there's nothing you can do about it, there is something you can do about it. You can stop the madness and you can go to your 401k and you can change it into a self-directed IRA and you can invest the money where you want to invest it. Because I can tell you, if we don't start shifting money pretty soon away from these fat cats who are going bankrupt on a daily basis, banks, mortgage companies, insurance companies, mutual funds, start shifting the money away from that and start shifting it to the industries that are actually going to save us, there won't be any saving us. Don't sit back and watch it happen. Don't even worry about that retirement money because it's not going to be there. They're going to take it all and make sure you don't get a chance to pull a penny of it out. So I want you to take control. I want you to take personal responsibility for your own life condition. And I want you to build this nation instead of watching it fall apart around you in the hands of inept politicians. Because that's what it's doing, and you know it. And the secret is energy. The secret to pulling this out is energy. And if we can do it with algae to biodiesel, that's great. If we can do it with electric vehicles, my gosh, what makes more sense than that? When will we ever learn to stop shoveling our planet into our gas tanks and burning it? How primitive can we get, people? The battery technology is here right now. The electric cars are here right now. All you have to do is find it. And I'm not exactly sure, but the website links might be at xsquaredradio.com. I know you're paying attention. I know you're listening. I know you're sitting at your laptop or your workstation this morning at work, and you're listening to this, and you know it makes sense to you. You know that this is the way we need to go, and you want to take control. You want to do it. I understand that, and I want you to. I'm compelling you to do it, if it's at all possible. I'm trying to inspire you to do it. I'm trying to make you realize you are America. You are Earth. You are the voters. You are the taxpayers. You are the ones putting your money in the banks that are failing. You are the ones paying the interest on the loans from the debt that you have accumulated, be it credit card debt or automotive debt or homeowners debt. You're the ones that are driving the economy, not the politicians. Where you spend your money is the way the world goes. Now, if you want to spend it at the mall this winter, buying toys, that's going to stimulate the economy, no doubt about it. No doubt about it. But if you spend it in energy, instead of having fish, we're going to have a fishing pole. And it's going to make a big difference. And I want you to make a big difference. Just give me a moment to throw something down my throat that's wet. Listen to some music. I'll be right back.
Make me a witness.
That's right, Sarah McLachlan. Everybody is waiting. Is change coming? Is it? Is it coming? Who's going to send it? Who is going to bring us that change? I got the answer. You are. You can do it. You can do it. While the think tanks in Washington are sitting there trying to figure out how they are going to herd you, the people, into their chutes, so they can harvest you, you're going to fool them. You are going to say, we're not going that way. We've seen the future, and we've made another choice. And that choice is we want a clean planet. We want a different energy source. And we don't want the money going to the same old hands it's always gone to. We don't want the money to end up in the hands of GM, Ford, Chrysler, Nissan. We don't want the money to end up in their hands. We don't want the money to end up in the hands of Exxon and Mobil and the big oil companies. They've had it long enough. It's time to find the companies that are really building the solution. They're out there. You can find them. And they're in the field of energy. And I'm not sure, but the links might be at xsquaredradio.com. One more time before we go, I want to make sure you want to know how to help with the North Pole Inner Earth Expedition. I know thousands of you have applied for 100 seats. I can't thank you enough for doing that. It really lets us know how much people are interested in the expedition. I appreciate it more than you know. But you also need to know that there are millions, tens of millions of people out there who want to know how they can help with this expedition. And you know who knows who they are? You do. Because you have them in your Facebook friends. That's right. They're not all in the North Pole Inner Earth Expedition friends column, but we want them to be, and they want to be. So we figured out a way for you to be part of history. This is how it can happen. You can participate in the greatest expedition in the history of the world, and this is how you can do it. Go to facebook.com and then put a / and then nipi.org and hit enter. NPIEE.org and hit enter. And then click on the fan box. And then all you have to do is share that widget on your Facebook profile. That's it. That's all you got to do. It's simple. It's free. And maybe some of your friends will do the same. We need 200,000 profiles with that widget in 30 days, people. Come on, Obama raised $600 million through social networking. All we have to do is raise $2 million, and the expedition is done. We don't have to worry about investors, and we don't have to worry about grants, and we don't have to worry about missing the target. And you get all the data, and you participated, and you get to watch it live, streaming live on your computer like the most amazing episode of Lost you can imagine. Let's make the expedition voyage a reality by working together. And I thank you very, very much in advance. We'll be back in 40 seconds. X Squared Radio coming to you live from Western Idaho. Our AccuWindow forecast down reasonable, about 75 degrees. Now, there's a couple things you need to do tonight as the sun goes down. I want you to go outside, especially around midnight. I want you to go outside and I want you to look up, because what you're going to see starting tonight is about 200 meteorites per hour. That's right, 200 meteorites per hour. And a lot of them are going to be big fireballs. Some of them you're not going to see any other time. Tonight's the 9th. The 10th, 11th, and 12th, it's going to get even more. Go out tonight after the program. Get yourself something cold to drink. Go outside, get a chair, sit down, tilt your head back, let your eyes get used to the darkness, and watch the Perseids tonight. If you've got a scouting group, call them up. Tell them to go outside. It's one of the rare times, and this time is going to be particularly intense because we're going through what's called a finger of that cometary tail. It's not the normal cloud. This is like an arm of the Milky Way. Comparatively, we're going through it over the next 3 nights. It's really going to be amazing. If you want to do a family home evening, do that. Get it out on Monday night. Get some cookies and cocoa or some popcorn and get out there and watch the Perseids together. Great family activity to watch our planet go through these regular areas in space. Now, speaking of that, you know that we're coming up on 2012. The year is now 2009. It's rumored, at least if you want to look at the ancient Mayan record and some of the others, like Sumerian records, and some of the others, like Egyptian records. Gee, what are these ancient civilizations trying to tell us? Somewhere around December 21st, 2012, something big is going to happen. We don't know what it's going to be yet. We haven't figured it out yet. Maybe we'll get a little closer, we'll figure it out. It could be very, very bad, or it could be very, very good, or it could be both, depending on where you're standing. Ah, that's why we want to make sure you know where to stand, okay? You've heard about the third volume of our trilogy, The Ark of Millions of Years, 1,500 pages, those three books. All three of them were Amazon bestsellers, twice. It completes the most comprehensive work ever done on the creation and destiny of the Earth, including the most accurate information about the events leading up to and following 2012. These books are so good, the research is so in-depth. We took most of the photographs ourselves. We went to Mexico, we went to Egypt, we went to Tibet. We gathered the information ourselves. We didn't read someone else's books, except for the ancient ones, which are all listed in the book. 44 ancient records gone through and deciphered for you. Some of these were not even in English until 11 years ago. That's how breaking these books are. The books are so good, they're being used as textbooks in universities. Yet they are easy to read and they're full of visual information. If you buy them now at arcofmillionsofyears.com, you will not only get all three volumes at a package price, and you'll get the first two volumes in audio. That's right, audiobooks, every word in them except for the encyclopedia in the front, ready to download for free. That's right, for free. And if you don't like to read, don't worry about it. I read it for you. Get your copy today and get prepared. arcofmillionsofyears.com. That's A-R-K, like Noah's Ark. That's what he called his Ark, the Ark of Millions of Years. Tonight we've talked about three main things. We've talked about Hollow Earth theory. We talked about the expedition to try to gather more information to make Hollow Earth theory a fact, something that can be learned and taught in our schools and understood, and maybe perhaps change the course of humanity. And we've talked about the condition of new energy and the energy news that you've heard in the last week. You remember Obama was in Indiana giving away $1.2 billion to encourage the construction of electric cars. I am not going to go into how effective that funding is going to be or not. I could just tell you, be intelligent, look at the companies, look at the way the money is being spent, and by all means, hold their feet to the fire. It's about time we see some electric vehicles, some serious electric vehicles come out. By the way, if you want to drive one, I'm not exactly sure, but the link might be at xsquaredradio.com. So, next week, we have Don Schmidt, author of Witness to Roswell with Thomas Carey. We don't know if Thomas is going to join us or not, but we're certainly going to encourage him to do so. This is a major headline program, people. Tell your friends, because the granddaddy of all UFO cases, the Roswell crash, there's more evidence, there's more witnesses. The story is getting so good. You guys don't want to miss this. And if you really want to see the stuff firsthand, don't forget to click on that Vortex Conference link at X Squared Radio. Get up there to Wisconsin, tell them we told you to come, and you'll get a discount, and they'll treat you right, my friends. We'll see you next week on X Squared Radio. It has been a great pleasure to have you here with us this evening. Tell a friend about us, because every Sunday evening at 6 p.m. Eastern Time, we bring you the best 3 hours of exploration into the mysteries of the universe and of the Earth. If you're not getting all 3 hours, send us the call letters of your local station, and we'll do the rest. Remember, Earth Explorers, that you are Source. Everything we do will eventually affect the universe, so try to do it on purpose. Reach out for the good in people and help it to grow a little every day. And before long, you will have saved the planet. This is X Squared Radio saying, peace, Earth Explorers.
Use the power of conscious creative manifestation and program your mind for prosperity and success by using the law of attraction. Use it together with subconscious wealth programming even while you sleep. These programs have been expertly developed by clinical hypnotherapist Chandra Lotz with a metaphysical emphasis. Go to awakeningseminar.com to order these amazing wealth attraction programs now, or click on the banner, Awakening Wealth Programming. Start creating the future you want now and change your life today by ordering these exceptional manifestation programs. The address again is www.awakeningseminar.com.
Well, hello, everybody. This is Sal Bellois. You're listening to BBS Radio, Los Angeles, California. You can hear my tunes right here, so listen up.
Bright Lights Pathfinders. We are all a bright light searching for the Pathfinder's way. Hello, I'm Kathy Cook, and I'm your host on Thursday evenings at 6 o'clock Pacific Time. That's 9 o'clock Eastern Standard Time. So listen up and tune in to Station 1 on BBSRadio.com. It's a positive power production. Unique perfection evolves. Exquisite feelings awaken. Producing passion style.
Interested in total immunity from disease? Then MaxwellGreenSight.com is what you seek. As a spiritual being, you will not live your life in fear of disease, virus, or flu of any kind. The site was developed as a one-stop shop for self-healing and empowerment. It includes material from some of the greatest yogic masters, such as Ramana Maharshi, Yogananda, Satchidananda, and extraterrestrial knowledge from Bashar, Elin, the Pleiadian Emissaries of Light, the Arcturians, and Mother Mary's College of Christ Consciousness. This is the site where we do the mental work to find out why a certain condition exists, connect with our higher selves, prepare the body to work optimally, claim our personal sovereignty and power, and cure disease with vibration, belief, love, appreciation, gratitude, natural remedies, the newest discoveries and technologies, and the amazing power of the body to heal itself. Remember, your power ends where your fear begins. Put a positive spin on your outer circumstance and go to Healing the Known and Unknown at MaxwellGreenSight.com.
In 1971, President Nixon declared a war on cancer. When politics declares war on anything, it never seems to reach its end. 30-plus years later, cancer and other diseases are still taking our loved ones and is costing billions in currency. What if the solutions for maintaining our health are so simple and staring us in the face? Many people now think this is the case and have become virtually disease and illness free. For further information, log on to the internet and visit www.apricotshop.com. Don't you owe it to yourself to check out all the information that is available out there, other than that which is sold to you by politicians and others with vested interests? Your future and that of your family could be changed for the better.
Hey everybody, this is Dee Nathan Drake. I am the star of science fiction show Lex the Dark Zone. Well, I hope you're listening to Dr. Fred Bell's show on BBSRadio.com. See, well, if you want to do Dr. Fred Bell's Health Science and Energy.
Health Science and.
Well, what was it?
Health Science and.
Health Science.
Just say you're listening to Dr. Bell's Health Science and.
And Energy.
Health Science and.
Energy show.
That yeah. works. In fact, I can
edit. Health, Energy, and Science show.
Health Science and.
We just call it the Dr. Bell Show.
Okay, well, that's what I did.
Same thing, only a little shorter. Yeah, same thing. Health Science and.